Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to our half-hour English feature program. I'm Susie Hodges. Coming up on today's program, the Pope concludes his visit to Madrid. Pope Benedict celebrates the closing mass for the World Youth Day event before a crowd of around 2 million young people on the final day of his visit to Madrid. And we bring you our latest reports from our correspondent in the Spanish capital on this mass and on Saturday's prayer vigil, which was interrupted by a violent thunderstorm. Archbishop Nichols on witnessing our faith. We also have an interview from Madrid with the head of the Catholic Church in England and Wales, Archbishop Vincent Nichols of Westminster, who talks about being a witness to Christ in today's world. Pope Benedict presided over Sunday's closing mass for the World Youth Day celebrations in Madrid and urged the young people to become missionaries of the faith. He also announced that the next World Youth Day celebration will be held in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil in 2013. Eamon McCarthy is in Madrid with the Pope and sent this report.
You are now about to go back home. Your friends will want to know how you have changed after being in this lovely city with the Pope and with hundreds of thousands of other young people from around the world. What are you going to tell them? I invite you to give a bold witness of Christian living to them. In this way, you will give birth to new Christians and will help the Church grow strongly in the hearts of many others. This was Pope Benedict XVI's mandate to an estimated 2 million young people, the disciples of the new evangelization, who had braved a stormy night at Cuatro Vientos Airport in Madrid and were impatient to hear the Holy Father's words.
Queridos jóvenes.
The tent city had withstood the battering winds and driving rains that cut short Saturday's prayer vigil, but the young people, though tired, still had enough energy reserves to welcome Pope Benedict enthusiastically as the Pope Mobile entered the vast military compound for the closing mass of this 26th World Youth Day. His first words to them, after a welcoming address by the Archbishop of Madrid, Cardinal Draco Varela, were, "I hope you were able to sleep at least a little last night," to the young people's applause.
Espero que hayas podido dormir un poco. A pesar de las inclemencias del tiempo.
Then, with the procession of bishops and priests to the sweeping white stage, upon which a simple altar was shaded by the outstretched branches of an artificial golden tree, the closing ceremony of this week of prayer, song, meditation, and encounter began.
In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti.
We cannot encounter Christ and not want to make him known to others, Pope Benedict told them in his homily. So do not keep Christ to yourselves. The entire homily, in fact, was drawn from the Sunday Gospel, Matthew 16, from Christ's question to the apostles, "But who do you say I am?"
La fe va más allá de los simples datos empíricos o históricos. Es capaz de captar el misterio de la persona de Cristo en su profundidad.
Faith is more than just an empirical or historical fact. It is an ability to grasp the mystery of Christ's person in all its depth, he said. And then looking out on the horizon of young men and women, religious and lay, that extended before his gaze, the Pope said to them, "Today Christ is asking you the same question. Respond to him with generosity and courage, as befits young hearts like your own."
Respondedle con generosidad y valentía, como corresponde a un corazón joven.
Then Pope Benedict spoke of how faith in Christ cannot be separated from his Church. The Church is not simply a human institution like any other, he said. Rather, she is closely joined to God. Christ himself speaks of her as his Church. Christ cannot be separated from the Church any more than the head can be separated from the body. And following Jesus in faith means participation in the communion of the Church, he continued. We cannot follow Jesus on our own, he told the young people. Anyone who would be tempted to do so on his own, or to approach the life of faith with kind of individualism so prevalent today, will risk never truly encountering Jesus or will end up following a counterfeit Jesus.
Es fundamental reconocer la importancia de vuestra gozosa inserción en las parroquias, comunidades y movimientos.
Pope Benedict appealed to the young people to love and care for the Church by recognizing how important their participation in the life of parishes, communities and movements in their local realities is. He spoke of the celebration of Sunday Mass and the need we all have to frequent the sacrament of reconciliation. Friendship with Jesus will also lead you to bear witness to the faith wherever you are, even when it meets with rejection or indifference, he observed. The world needs the witness of your faith. It surely needs God. His homily was followed by a profound silence that echoed around the arena as a gentle breeze lifted the flags of the nations of the world. The intercessory prayers were read. The first prayer in Italian for the Church, the second prayer for the Pope read in Chinese. The third prayer in Arabic for all young people who don't know Christ. The fourth prayer in Polish for the poor of this earth. The fifth prayer read in German for all the young people gathered at the Mass. Then, as the choir sang Antigua Eterna Danza, the liturgy of the Eucharist began. It was the moment that millions of young people had saved, worked, and prayed for. However, during Saturday's storm, some makeshift chapels set up on the field's perimeter were also damaged, forcing organizers to announce Sunday morning over loudspeakers that not everyone would be able to receive communion during the Mass. Nonetheless, the pilgrims took this news with the same calm and good nature with which they had conquered the hearts of Madrid's residents. Pope Benedict gave communion to a selection of these pilgrims to the notes of "Here I Am, Lord," while beneath the altar 2 million young people dropped to their knees in prayer. A very different wind was blowing Sunday morning across Cuatro Vientos. The pilgrims then raised the crosses that had been placed in each backpack for the apostolic benediction. But the Pope's thoughts and prayers went well beyond the Madrid airport and those immediately present. "During these days, how often have I thought of the young people at home who are waiting for your return," he said to them during his address before the midday Angelus. "Take my affectionate greetings to them, to those less fortunate, to your families, and to the Christian communities that you come from." And then the party really began, as Pope Benedict officially announced that the next World Youth Day will be held in 2013 in Rio de Janeiro.
Que la sede de la próxima Jornada Mundial de la Juventud en el 2013 será Rio de Janeiro.
Before we say goodbye, he said, and while the young people of Spain pass on the World Youth Day cross to the young people of Brazil, as successor of Peter, I entrust all of you present with this task. Make the knowledge and love of Jesus Christ known to the whole world. He wants you to be the apostles of the 21st century and the messengers of his joy. Do not let him down. With Pope Benedict in Madrid, I'm Emma McCarthy.
As you heard earlier, Pope Benedict presided over a prayer vigil liturgy on Saturday evening, which was interrupted by a heavy thunderstorm, which prevented him from reading most of his homily. Emma McCarthy tells us more about that event.
"This is the Pope's youth," the chant erupted spontaneously from the multitudes as the winds and rain beat down upon them in the aptly named Cuatro Vientos Airport, the airport of the four winds. After days of incessant and stifling heat, not even the tempest that interrupted the Holy Father mid-homily could quench the enthusiasm of Benedict XVI's generation, an estimated 2 million strong on Saturday night. "We all know you were out in the sun this afternoon and asking for more water. Well, here it is," the young presenter announced. And as the Pope waited patiently seated before the giant altar for the storm to pass, organizers invited the jubilant pilgrims to pray for the rain to cease. Instead, their voices rose as one in a continuous chant, "This is the Pope's youth." And that chorus rang out across the city of Madrid that night. They had begun arriving mid-morning, many travelling 24 kilometres to the airport on foot, under a searing sun with temperatures hitting 40 degrees Celsius. Madrid's bomberos, firemen on top of engines, directing water hoses over the crowds in an effort to bring some relief. The Liturgy of the Word had just begun, following the procession of the World Youth Day Cross and Icon. The five young people, drawn from the UK, Kenya, the USA, the Philippines and Germany, had only just posed their questions to Pope Benedict when the storm began, ripping the zucchetto from the Pope's head. Michael, from the UK, a convert to Catholicism, had asked the Pope who Christ really is and whether he was for all humanity or only for Christians. Rosaline from Kenya spoke of her work on behalf of the victims of famine in Kenya, Ethiopia and Somalia, drawing the applause of the crowds, and asked the Pope how she can help the poor and suffering understand that God has not forgotten about them. Robert from the USA spoke of how he will marry in just 1 month's time and asked Pope Benedict for advice on how to faithfully live the vocation of marriage. Kitsia from the Philippines spoke of how it was difficult at times to witness her faith in society, while the young German Kathleen, a non-believer but attracted by the figure of Christ, asked for guidance. Pope Benedict never got to pronounce his answers to these young people. Instead, when the winds and rain had calmed, the Holy Father proceeded to pronounce his greetings to pilgrims in diverse languages, and then left the raised altar to vest for the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. As he left the stage, firemen clambered onto the structure to assure its safety, while the young people continued to chant. The Holy Father emerged shortly afterwards and, once the crowds had quietened, invited the 2 million who had answered his call to join him in a night of Eucharistic adoration. As he knelt before the altar, the 15th century monstrance, Custodia di Arafe, from the Toledo Cathedral, rose from the centre of the stage, and after a clamour of 2 million voices, for the heat, the Pope, the rain, silence descended on Quattro Ventos. Then Pope Benedict, inviting a group of young people onto the stage, bid the throng before him good night. He said, "Dear young people, we have lived an adventure together, firm in our faith in Christ. We have resisted the rain. Before I go, I would like to wish you all a good night. Thank you for the incredible example you have given. Like this night with Christ, you can always overcome life's obstacles. Never forget this." With Pope Benedict in Madrid, I'm Emer McCarthy.
One person who was present at both the Saturday prayer vigil and the Sunday closing mass was Joan Lewis, Rome Bureau Manager for the Catholic TV network EWTN. She shared her impressions with Tracy McClure.
Joan, Pope Benedict announced on Sunday that Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, will be hosting the next World Youth Day in 2013. The crowds just erupted with cheers. You were there watching it all. Would you say that this was one of the highlights of this trip?
There have been so many, but surely the announcement of the next World Day, just the mere fact that there is going to be this continuity. Anybody who has called World Youth Day an anachronism does not know what it's about. And you could see the joy, obviously, here in the stadium and the young people that from Brazil who received the cross from the young people of Spain, as always happens with the World Youth Day Cross, the transfer. So lots of joy there. And this was the word joy, to be honest with you, is the word that just cropped up. Every single young person that I talked to spoke about the joy of this World Youth Day. Joy of seeing friends, joy of being part of the Universal Church, joy of freely expressing their faith. They had so many motives for joy. And the young people, again, that I talked to, obviously an extraordinarily small portion of the numbers they're giving now are 1.5 million. And last night we got a notice that they were going to open up greater sections of the field for the vigil. than they had originally planned. Of course, you have to work out security, you have to work out so many things. But we all got an email, a text message that said the field would be enlarged to accommodate the much, much larger crowd than expected. So it's been a whole week of immense joy, of the young people feeling challenged in their faith, but challenged to improve it and to go back and to be apostles, to be the Benedict generation, the young people that go out and convert their peers, convert them or strengthen them, as the case may be, in their faith. And, you know, last night at the vigil was absolutely astonishing. I was in the big media tent. They have set up three really phenomenal tents. One has food, but I mean a place for Wi-Fi and tables and stuff, and then two great big tents with couches and sofas and chairs, places to transmit your messages. And but I thought at one point the roof was going to come off.
Well, in fact, I was watching that whole episode on television, but it was amazing. The Pope was really struggling to get through his homily when all of a sudden the rain just started pouring down, high winds. It looked almost at one point like, you know, one of those tents was going to blow over. What, it must have been an amazing experience.
Oh, it truly, truly was. And I was outside when I could feel the first drops of rain. You could see the dark clouds, and the lightning in the distance was absolutely phenomenal. And so, I mean, everything's, you know, taking place as it's supposed to, when all of a sudden, I mean, it was like maybe the Holy Spirit didn't want anybody to forget he was also there. Just this immense, actually at certain points it was hail more than rain in certain areas of this airport where everything was taking place. And
nobody expected that, because so few people had umbrellas or hats or was anything to keep them from getting drenched. But one of the images that I'll remember is of the Pope, you know,
covered
by white umbrellas.
Yeah.
So it was really a very unexpected.
But, you know, he complimented the youth for the fact that their courage and strength and determination was stronger than the rain. And so, I mean, here you've got this man, they're trying to protect his vestments, his knees, his shoulders, his face.
Well, he was also trying to protect the papers he had the homily written on from blowing away. But
exactly.
Even though he was not able to pronounce much of that homily, anyone who is interested in reading what the Pope has to say can go on to Vatican Radio's website and find that for themselves.
But you know where a lot of the kids fled until they had to close them? There were 30 chapels all around the perimeter for the kids to go in at night, 17 of which did have the Blessed Sacrament so that they could be in Eucharistic adoration. And the kids that were nearest to these chapels just crowded them. And then, of course, you know, they got to the point where they had to, like, close the door because no one else could fit in. So,
we did get news, though, on Sunday morning that some of those chapels had to be closed down because there was a risk of them collapsing after storm. And unfortunately, we were told that many of the kids out there for the Mass would not be receiving communion for that very reason, that the hosts were being stored in those tents. But anyway, want to ask you, though, Joan, is what do you think these young people are going to be bringing back home with them?
Well, I can only tell you what they told me. They truly feel refreshed and strengthened in their faith. They know that when they go home, they're not going to have a million people around them reaffirming them in their faith. I mean, Tracy, you had to hear these kids on the subway. When in New York or Rome are you going to hear people talk about Eucharistic adoration? And these kids did. But they know when they go home, they're not going to be surrounded by people who, yes, in their parish and family maybe, they're not going to be surrounded by people who feel like them. They do. But they felt that they were given many reasons to be strong, to be visible in your faith, whether it's saying grace in a restaurant before a meal and doing the sign of the cross. They feel they've been given, if you will, ammunition to answer those who say, well, now, you know, why would you think of a vocation? Why doesn't the church approve of this or that? So they do feel they truly have gone home strengthened in their faith, and that they're better able to answer a lot of questions from people who you know, might not feel that religion has a place in life.
That was Joan Lewis of the Catholic TV network EWTN speaking to Tracy McClure. Among the hundreds of church leaders attending World Youth Day in Madrid was the Archbishop of Westminster, Vincent Nichols, head of the Bishops' Conference in England and Wales. He led a group of 121 young men and women from his own diocese, but earlier in the week he also gave one of the catechesis for an international audience. As our correspondent Emma McCarthy found out, he chose to speak on the theme of Christian witness in contemporary society.
I was speaking to them about being a witness, and I wanted to explore with them the experience of being a witness, for example, in a court of law. How, as a witness in a court of law, you have to answer the questions that are before the court. And secondly, you have to tell the truth as you have seen it and know it. And thirdly, you have to be ready to be tested. Your credibility is going to be tested in the witness stand. And it was those three things I used as a way of exploring what it means to witness to Christ in the world today, which was the third of the themes. But it was a very different experience for me, because most people there were from Africa, they were from the Philippines, they were from India, they were from the Middle East, they were from China, they were from Malaya, all sorts of different places. So there's me as a European speaking to an experience of faith which is fresh to me. But it was good, it was good.
Your catechesis actually touched on a theme that's very dear to Pope Benedict XVI's magisterium. One of his first messages to young people when he arrived in Madrid was, "Do not be ashamed of our Lord." Again, speaking about witness, the idea of being Christians in society, being active, not being ashamed to show your faith. And then, of course, the dialectic between faith and reason, believer and non-believer in society. It's also a subject he touched on when he was in the United Kingdom almost a year ago now. Of course, it was a very different level. The people he was speaking to at that time were at a very different intellectual level. But do you think it's a message, a mission, that the young people of today can understand and take on?
Well, I heard this morning of one of the youngsters here from England, a girl who's at university, had struck up a friendship with a lad. And only after a bit did she learn that he was being among the protesters against the papal visit to the United Kingdom. So she and he are working this out in their friendship, in their relationship. And in a way, that shows you that this is real for these youngsters, that they, while they're full of hope and they're full of enthusiasm for the future, they are also living in the same society in which, in the United Kingdom particularly, there's so many voices saying, "Go take no notice of religion, it's a purely private matter. In fact, if anything, it's a problem in society." Whereas I think what the Pope is constantly saying is that religious faith, and the Christian faith in particular, has a huge contribution to make to the fashioning of a stable future for us all. And I think she and he will explore that and will, as it were, live the journey that the Pope asks in their friendship. And if that's true for one of these youngsters, it's probably true for a lot of them in their places of work, in their universities. I hope they will have the confidence to follow that prompting of the Pope and never be ashamed of their faith, but never either seek to impose it on others. It's an invitation. And it's an invitation more than anything else to know Christ personally. And if we have that personal relationship with him, then we can begin to have the conversation. And that's what I see in these young people. They're very devout. They seem to have a sense of Christ as their friend, as well as the church as their family. And both are important.
We're seeing a very different vision of today's young people than we saw perhaps earlier this week in the protests of the young people against this papal visit, albeit a minority, or perhaps even in those young people who took part in the riots in certain cities in the United Kingdom. The idea, again, of a different face of young people being presented to society. It's important, isn't it?
Do you know, that's a fair point, but I think we have to keep things in proportion. I mean, the protests here in Madrid have been from really very few people. And a couple of the taxi drivers I've been with have said how ashamed they are of those protests, because they say, you know, Madrid and the Spanish people are hugely welcoming, hospitable, and they resented those protests, which tried to give the impression that Madrid was hostile to this event. And he said, Madrid is not. So I think there's a common voice in Spain, in Madrid certainly, that says, no, this is a very, very welcome moment. And I think also, shocking as the riots and the looting in a few English cities was, it's not been huge numbers. I mean, there's far more youngsters here in Madrid on the World Youth Day than took part in those riots in England. And nor should we think that those riots were, as it were, the activity of young people. I think we're being told that less than half of those before the courts are youngsters, and the rest are from all sorts of walks of life. But that has been a wake-up call for us to recognise that we do need to dig down again and find some fundamental values that hold us together, even when the temptations are there to break loose and to cause a bit of mayhem. So I think the contribution that a World Youth Day makes is to give young people the confidence to resist some of that temptation and to be firm in their own way of life, their own self-respect, the respect they have for others, and to be really citizens of a better future.
My final question, were you surprised at how much this particular gathering of World Youth Day young people seem to have really warmed to Pope Benedict XVI? They've been termed the B16 generation. A lot of commentators outside the Catholic Church are shocked by this because they've always very much considered him an austere, severe, reserved character. How would you explain the obvious affection that these young people have for this Pope? Mm.
Well, I think with Pope Benedict's visit to the United Kingdom, we saw some of that media parody of the Pope revealed for what it is, that in fact Joseph Ratzinger has always been a man of immense courtesy, compassion, gentleness. And I think when he was in the United Kingdom, I think people saw him much more as a figure of, if you like, your favourite grandfather. And I think it's that gentleness and that warmth and that deep respect that he has for people, even those who disagree with him, that appeals to young people, together with his ability to express the truths of faith in a very clear way, a way that is clear and not threatening, but certainly challenging. It's saying, live up to this because it's what's true and it's what will bring you the kind of happiness that you're seeking. So I think the appeal of Benedict is, okay, it might surprise some people, but clearly these young people here are seeing the man as he is and seeing him and his role as the supreme pontiff, as the successor of Peter. And I think that's part of the appeal, that they know that they're not just looking at an elderly priest who comes from Bavaria and has this history. They are looking and welcoming the successor of St. Peter, who is, if you like, the rock of faith. And they know if they are in communion with him, then they are close to the promise of Christ, who said, you know, the gates of hell will not prevail against this church. So I think this is a very, very remarkable event. And it's just a shame that the British media doesn't pay it more attention. You know, you've got 1.5, maybe more million young people here. There's no trouble, so maybe it's not newsworthy, but it should be, because these are the young people who will shape the future of our country, I hope. They'll make their contribution. And I think this is a really good story that I hope many people will draw from it encouragement for the future.
That was Archbishop Vincent Nichols of Westminster speaking to Emma McCarthy. Well, that's all for today from me, Susie Hodges, here at Vatican Radio's English programme. But we'll be on the air again at the same time tomorrow. And you can always find our programmes on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. Laudato Jesus Christus.